In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the middle of Lent, and we have the Tree of Life, the cross of Christ, out for veneration. We're at the heart of Lent, and we're at the heart of this great mystery. The Lord God conceived of this mystery before the world began. This mystery was kept silent, as it says in the Scriptures, and in another place, hid from the beginning of the world, this mystery. It was foretold in a shadowy and opaque way by the Old Testament prophets. Noah is saved by using wood to build an ark. There is a rod of Aaron, a rod of Jacob, and a rod of Moses. Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph with his hands crossed. Moses, using a staff, led the people of God through the Red Sea, and he did it by making a cross over the water. Moses lifted up a bronze serpent on his staff so that all that would look up, who'd been bit by serpents, all who looked up to the bronze serpent on the staff would be healed, saved. The cross would only clearly be revealed when the fullness of time had come. The only begotten Son had taken flesh and started his earthly journey to save us. Our eyes are opened, and the whole of the cosmos saw the revealed truth because, as we have sang in church, Jesus died in the middle of the day, in the middle of the earth. The cross is in the middle of the church, in the middle of Lent, so that we can draw strength. We draw strength from the cross of Christ. So let us draw that strength as we see ourselves moving closer to his passion, death, and resurrection. We sang in the canon today, the church is revealed as a second paradise. Having a tree of life as the first paradise of old. By touching thy cross, O Lord, we share in immortality. And we heard in the Synaxarion today, since the Holy Cross is also called the Tree of Life, and this tree has been planted in the center of paradise, in the same way the Holy Fathers have planted the Tree of the Cross in the center of Great Lent, so we can eat of it and live forever. Just love it. The cross of Christ expresses God's boundless and perfect love for man. Father Zachariah of Essex said, When man's creation was decided, Christ, the second person of the Trinity, accepted to become the author of salvation for his creature, fashioned in his image and likeness. The cross of Christ exists in eternity. For this reason, the book of Revelation says that Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before. The cross stretches all the way back to the very beginning, and then, as we're saying, before the beginning. So all the way to the beginning, and then to the beginning of the beginnings. The cross stretches all the way back, and it stretches all the way forward, and will be there for the last person who is saved, before the end of the world. So let's talk about the cross as the tree of life. And I want to begin with the beginning. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, and you know this, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you will die. God created Adam, the first man, as a free being with a wondrous intellect. He endowed him with spiritual power, which enables him to delight in the presence of God and experiences the pleasure of an incorruptible life. And the commandment to not eat of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was a cross for Adam. Something he had to bear. He had to put up with that loss of that little bit of choice. It should have helped him. It should have kept him humble. It should have kept him humble and relying on God. Jesus dies on the cross, embracing the world, reuniting at his fatherly breast all those who through sin have grown apart from God and each other. Thus says Saint Athanasius, through Christ, love flows in all directions, from God down to us, from man to man, and all around. So let us rejoice today at the sight of the cross, elevated, brought out. We're bowing down before it. We're singing in unison, come all you faithful, let's venerate the holy resurrection of Christ. For behold, through the cross, joy has come into the world. Incredible. Blessing the Lord always, let's praise his resurrection. So we have the symbol of joy in our midst. The greatest, most beautiful, most precious gift the Lord ever gave. St. Theodore the Studite said, its appearance, the cross's appearance today, is not a mixture of good and evil like the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which once stood in Eden, but on the contrary, it's wholly good and wholly beautiful, both to behold and to partake of, because the wood of this tree brings not death, but life. It gives light and not darkness, and it leads us back to Eden. It doesn't send us in exile from it. This is the wood upon which Christ's blood will be spilled, endowing us with invincible power to burn demons. It's like a roar. I'm not going to cry, but I will roar. I read this preparing for the sermon. I don't know where I read it. But listen to this, and I definitely wrote in my own words, but this isn't my original thought. The angels, the apostles, the prophets, the martyrs, even the moon, the stars, and the earth, including especially all the trees, share in the honor bestowed on the wood of the cross. So beautiful. So let's join in the celebration and the veneration of the cross. The church, as we now see, and as I said at the beginning of the sermon, has now become paradise. Paradise in this world, sprouting forth the tree of life in its center, in which there's no deceptive demon trying to lure Eve away from the Lord, but rather God has placed his angel among us, protecting all who draw near to the cross. Today, the all-holy cross is venerated, and the resurrection of Christ is just on the horizon. We've reached that apex of the journey in Lent, the third Sunday, the midpoint. Whatever you set out to do for Lent, if it has fallen away, it is not too late. Embrace Lent. The fasting, the praying, the killing of the phone and the TV or the computer or whatever. Get away from what we used to think was normal life, but was actually like messed up, and get back to normal life, which is Lent. The praying, the fasting, you know, the humbling ourselves, the reading, the playing. You know, Lent begins with flying kites in Greece. It's always put it on our schedule, you know, kite flying is recommended or whatever I put, you know, encourage, greatly encourage, whatever I said. It's not too late to fly the kite. It's not too late to fly some kites and to sit out and pray, to get under the tree like Nathaniel. It's not too late for it. It's just the beginning. This is paradise. When we look upon the life-giving tree, it heals the disobedience from Eden. There we tasted a forbidden fruit and were banished. Here we kiss the tree of life and are granted immortality. Let's say with St. Paul, as for me, I'll never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For it was from the cross that wisdom beyond wisdom has blossomed forth. That's where we are. The cross is a refuge for us. And the Lord says to pick up our own cross. You know, there are no saints in heaven that got there by the way of pleasure. Everyone has to carry a cross. So the Lord has given all of you the greatest, most precious gift he can. Not only his cross we draw strength from, but he's given you a cross. And he says, pick it up. Deny yourself. Any way you can join yourself to Christ, any way you can take up your cross without grumbling, without complaint, without shaking your fist at God, and instead say, the Lord is good, he loves me, this is for my salvation. Pick up your cross. He's given you one. You can avoid it if you want, but he's asking you to pick it up. And if you do, you're on the path of the saints. That's the journey to heaven. That's the journey. Whoever carries his cross, the one the Lord has given you on your shoulders, will imitate Christ. What we don't want to do is the thing we must do, and that is we have to die. We have to pick up our cross, give ourselves to the Lord, die to ourselves, die to this world, die to the false notion that it's supposed to just be one long rose garden of pleasures. I always say, you know, that the best song ever written is, well, that's a little dramatic. It's probably one of the Beatles songs, but what I really want to say, and I can tell you which one, but I'll say it. Actually, it is Here Comes the Sun, because I think it's talking about Christ. But maybe I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, we'll delete that out of the... It's that... I never promised you a rose garden, that country song from the 70s or whatever, that whenever that came out. Like, that's just good wisdom. And as soon as we embrace that, I have a cross to bear. And it may be exactly the thing we don't want. A loss of our health, difficult family life or something, you know, whatever it might be, you know, mental illness we have to carry around and deal with, whatever it might be, whatever the cross is the Lord's given you, it's for your salvation. Pick it up. Deny yourself. If you die in a death like his, you'll be raised up in a resurrection like his. Finding the cross. The thief entered paradise. He replaced thievery with the kingdom. Remember that icon of the second judgment, the last judgment, the second coming, the last judgment, where the thief, I told you, is in paradise and he still has his cross. He got in paradise, and we've got this incredible icon of paradise. I told you the scales, you know, where the angels tipping them in favor of the guys, giving them a break. But the other thing that's in there, in paradise, in this icon of the second coming, the last judgment, the good thief, he still has his cross. He's not going to set it down, even in paradise. Pick up your cross. And may paradise consume you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.